Very good. Well, at this time, we're going to have Brother Price come and speak to us and present part of the ministry. Some of the ministry can't be exposed because they go into all parts of the world, but just be praying for all the missionaries who are willing to go and translate these languages, people that have never heard the gospel. How many of you appreciate the privilege you've had to hear the gospel, to have Jesus, hear about the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, and trusted him as your Lord and Savior, and he changed your life? Isn't that awesome? What if no one had ever told you? What if the only religion you ever heard was what some man told you was the truth, rather than having the Bible to tell you the truth? So anyway, I'm very appreciative of the work that he's doing. He was a pastor for many years, and the Lord has called him to go into this ministry, and so we talked about that last night. That was encouraging to hear him. And so I just now introduce Brother Jim Price and let him present what God has given him.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning, folks. All right, let's try and have some unity in the church, amen. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Oh, unity, music to my ears. It is good to be with you folks once again, and what a blessing to have our young people playing musical instruments and being a part of the service. And I think, Paul, if I don't turn this on, I'm going to get a dirty look from him in a moment, so I better turn that on. Are we good now? All right. Well, I appreciate your folks, and my wife and I appreciate you praying for us. And I'm all mixed up in the wire here. There we go. Appreciate your prayers on our behalf. Appreciate your financial support month by month. That keeps us going on the road. And we know that you do pray for us. And what exciting to see the children partaking of that offering. That is such a blessing. That's a good thing to do, is to get our children excited about missions at a young age. Amen. That will bear fruit down the road. And so when Pastor calls for seeking a man, instead of saying, I found none, we'll find half a dozen out of Faith Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be exciting? Then you'll have to replace yourselves. Amen. All right, well, if you don't know us, mine's Jim Price, my wife Ruth. We are with First Bible International. It is a ministry to get the Bible translated for Bible-less people, those that don't have a Bible, and everybody needs to have the Word of God in their own heart language, amen? God has, I believe, planned it that way. And he's using the church to do that. That is his plan and his program. As I mentioned earlier, the only plan that God has for reaching the world with the gospel is the church. Amen. He has no plan B. It is us. It's Faith Baptist Church of Carrington, North Dakota. Your assignment is to reach the world with the gospel. Can it be done? Of course it can be done. Amen. He wouldn't give us something that we couldn't do. So we have an assignment, and he's given us the opportunity to be a co-laborer with him. He's given us the tools. Amen? He's given us the tools to do the job. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, born again this morning, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Amen? Let me ask this. Are you walking with the Lord this morning? Are you right with God this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Because if you are, you have the potential to reach the world with the gospel. Because it's only through his power, like Pastor said already this morning. He's given us the Bible. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? How many of us have more than one Bible at home? I bet all of us have more than one. Probably 2, 3, 4. Some of us maybe half a dozen or a dozen Bibles, amen, depending on how many children. We had 7 children. I'm sure we had more than a dozen Bibles sitting at home kicking around at one time or another. There's places in this world that have no Word of God at all. They cannot open the Bible up to John 3:16 and read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mentioned this morning, 8.2 billion people, half this world, no Bible. No Bible they can open up in their heart language and read the Word of God. That is a challenge for us, amen. Could God use you? Could God use you to translate the Word of God? I want to submit to you that God can. Look in Philippians 1:6. This is one of my favorite verses. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing. What very thing? This very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you, when you got saved and born again, that was the day that God began that good work in you, and he will perform it till when? Till you're too hard-headed, stubborn, you've messed up too bad, you know, you made too many mistakes, and he says, oh, I can't use that Pastor Pepley anymore, he's too much of a mess. No, he says, I'm going to continue to work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's a great promise, amen? Because folks, we mess up pretty bad. We do things we ought not to do, and we're not all that we ought to be. But God's not finished with us, amen? God can still use us, and he's going to continue to use us. I want to take you to 2 Kings this morning for our message. 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to take you back in time. I want you to use your imagination for just a few minutes this morning. I want to take you back to a time where the society was anti-God. The society that was at that point in history, they had idol worship. They worshiped golden calves. They had idols in their homes. And they would walk around and they'd have necklaces that had idols on them. They would bow down to false gods. They'd have witchcraft was all over the nation at this point in time. And the king who was over it, King Ahab, was the wickedest king that Israel, the northern tribes, ever had. His wife was even more wicked than he was. She was a vile, vile woman. And yet the society just did, they were anti-God. Kind of reminds you of the world we're living in anymore, amen? We live in an anti-God world, a worldview which is totally against what Scripture says and has no use for God. So this, in this world that was at that point in time, there was also a lot of battles going on. The northern tribes of Israel were always battling Syria. They were going back and forth. There were skirmishes, there were battles, there were fights, back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes Israel would win, sometimes Syria would win, and they'd be going backwards and forwards continually for a few generations. And that's where this story takes place. So let's read in 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And you know the rest of the story. Naaman got a healing. Amen. Naaman got the healing. So during this period of time, that we're looking at, there also lived a little girl. And I envision this little maid, that's all she's known by in our story, is that she's the little maid. And I envision her about 12 years old, maybe 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there. And she was sitting at dinner with one day with her family. They were gathered around the table, and maybe they were praying because they heard the Syrian army was now coming closer and closer. And I envision the father gathering the family together around the dinner table, and they're praying together, they're having a meal together. Maybe they prayed again and asking God to bring deliverance for the nation of Israel from the king of Syria. And all of a sudden, the door bursts open, and Naaman and his army is at the door. Do you know what happens next, right? The father's carried off. The mother's carried off, probably killed on the spot. Her brothers, her sisters are probably carried away to foreign lands as well, to foreign places. Maybe the same geographical area, maybe a different area that Syria had already conquered. And this little maid is carried away. Her parents are killed. Her siblings are gone. She's now living in a foreign country. I want to ask you a question. If you were her, how would you respond? How would you respond? God, why'd you allow this to happen? That would be my first response. Why'd you allow my parents to be killed? And why did you allow my siblings to be carted off? Why'd you allow me to go to this foreign land? And now I'm a servant, I'm a slave. I was a princess in the home, but now I have to wash the floor. God, why'd you allow that? Did God use this little maid? I want to give you four thoughts of why God used this little maid. First, she exhibited forgiveness. She exhibited forgiveness. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, look in verse 3. She said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, put yourself in that spot. What would you say if your master, the one who had just carted you away and killed your parents and scattered your family, and now you're living in a foreign land, you don't understand the culture, you don't understand what they're saying because it's a foreign language, you look at the food. I was in the Philippines once, and they eat something called balut. Anyone ever had balut? Balut is a partially formed duck egg. And there's actually feathers, and they consider it a delicacy there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. My daughter did, but I couldn't do it. So this little maid now is having to eat food that she's not used to. Maybe it's too spicy. Maybe it's not spicy enough. Maybe she has to eat snake or duck eggs or who knows what. But now she's in a totally foreign place, not of her choosing. Could I say, humanly speaking, she had every right to be angry? Humanly speaking, she had every right to be bitter. Humanly speaking, she had every right to hold a grudge, to shake her fist at God and say, "Why? Why'd you allow this in my life?" But the little maid didn't respond like that. She said, "Would to God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would heal him." He'd get his leprosy healed. Instead of cursing, she blessed. Question for you. What would you do? I know my initial response. One time, we bought this house and the water was coming in the basement, so we said, we're going to dig around that house and put in weeping tile and, you know, fix the walls and all that. We started to dig and it rained, what, 4 days? Solid. So we dig and it'd come in, the mud had come in, we dig them. I said, God, why'd you allow? I was mad. I was angry at God. By the way, I did ask God for forgiveness. I'm okay now. But I was angry. Why'd you allow this? I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to be a good husband and good steward of what you've given me. Why? Anyone ever do you dirty? Huh? You don't have to put your hand up because I know it's true. We've all been done dirty. Amen? Someone along the line has offended you. Maybe it's your brother, sister, your dad, your mom, your children, your uncle, your aunt, a church member, a good friend, a classmate. Someone has done you dirty. One time I had a motorcycle, Honda 404. My friend was getting married. This was before I got saved. He took the bike, crashed it. Never paid it back to me. Never gave me any money. Said, here's your bike. I'm sorry I crashed it. Bye. Hey, and that's minor. That didn't hurt my heart. But folks, people will say things and do things that'll hurt your heart. How will you respond? Will you bless or curse? Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews. I want to show you something in Hebrews. Chapter 12. I submit to you that on a scale of 1 to 10, that little maid's hurt must have been 9.95. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have my parents hauled off and killed and be transported to a totally different country as a 12-year-old even boy. But yet, instead of cursing, she blessed. Hebrews 12:15 says this, looking diligently, folks, look diligently right now into your heart and say, Lord, is there anything, anyone that I've not forgiven? Have I forgiven you for every circumstance that's come into my life? Maybe it's not a person, but maybe it's an event that's come into your life that you are bitter towards God about. Looking diligently, lest any man, what? Fail of the grace of God. Folks, there's enough grace available for us to overcome bitterness. And we have enough grace to forgive anything that happens in our life. Absolutely anything. Notice this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Notice a root of bitterness. See, it all starts out, unforgiveness and bitterness starts out with a little root, a little seed that gets planted in your heart. And you start dwelling on that and start dwelling on that. And that little seed starts to spring up. And it springs more and more and more. And the Bible says it troubles us and then it defiles others. You know who it will defile? Your family, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your church. Because that's who it's going to affect first. It's those around you. The little maid, she had every right to be bitter. She had every right to hold a grudge. She had every right to shake her fist at God and to have that bitterness. But I submit to you that she forgave. She forgave. God used her because she had forgiveness in her heart towards her captor. Second thought. The little maid exhibited fortitude. The little maid exhibited fortitude. Look in verse 1. I want you to now continue to use your imagination a little bit and picture Naaman. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid." So think about Naaman. I envision Naaman, a big tall guy, 6'6", muscular. The Bible says that he was a great man. Doesn't necessarily mean he was a large man, but he was a great man. Maybe he was short and stocky. I don't know, but I envision him. You can envision him any way you want to. Maybe you envision him like Pastor Pepley, amen, a great man with his master. But here, he's a great man. The Bible says he's honorable. He has honor. He's not deceitful. He doesn't do things backhanded, amen. He's an honorable man, even though he's unsaved, and even though he's a second in command of the Syrian, he's still an honorable man. He does right. Notice, great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance. So he was a great leader, amen. God had used him. I've never figured that one out yet, Pastor. But God had used him to bring deliverance to Syria. So he was a great leader. He went out by companies. He led men, and men revered him and looked up to him. And it says here, he was a mighty man in valor. So he was a strong man, a mighty man in valor. He was intimidating. Could I say that? He was a very intimidating man to be around, second in command of the king of Syria. And this little maid spoke up. She's now a captive. She's a slave. Does she have any right to speak up? No. And in that society, she was a girl, a woman. They didn't have any rights to speak up. And she was 12. She was a little maid. Again, no right to speak up, but this little maid exhibited fortitude. She said, "Hey, if my master were with the prophet that's in Syria, he'd get a healing." Amen. You know what she was really saying? Your gods are powerless, but my God is powerful. Your gods are impotent, but my God can bring deliverance and bring healing to my master. Totally against society, amen? She had fortitude. We'd call it guts, amen? She stepped up to the plate and declared faith in her Almighty God to a people who were anti-God. They had their own gods, but not the true God, amen? She may have even been laughed up or ignored, amen? Are we intimidated? Amen? We're intimidated by people who are smarter than us, bigger than us, better looking than us. Amen. We get intimidated by those things. We get intimidated by circumstances which don't seem to be right for us to speak up. That's where the little maid was. Circumstances were not right for her to speak up, yet she spoke up. Could I even submit to you that we're also intimidated by ourselves? You ever have any self-talk? Come on now, be honest. We have this self, I can't do that. And we talk ourselves out of what we could be doing. This little girl spoke up and said, "The gods of the Syrians are powerless, but my God is all powerful." She exhibited fortitude. By the way, and I'm not going to take you there, but look at the life of Joshua. If you were to examine his life, actually, we got time. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 3. We envision Joshua as a mighty man of valor, amen? Didn't he defeat 31 kings, right? And we think, man, he got appointed by God to be the leader over the nation of Israel. He must have had a lot of fortitude. He must have been a superman, if you will, amen? And look at the life of Joshua. Six times this phrase or something similar is used about Joshua. Notice what God says. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. I want you to notice the phrasing here. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Now look in verse 23 of Deuteronomy 31. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua 1, 6. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Look in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look down in verse 9. Have I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Could I submit to you that Joshua was a fearful man? Joshua didn't have the courage that we envision him to have. You don't say be strong and of a good courage to a man's already courageous, right? Amen? You say that to a man who is a little timid, to someone that doesn't have that courageous spirit, and you keep on saying, be strong. You can do it. You can do it. You can teach Sunday school. You can do it. You can do VBS. You can do it. Amen? We don't do that to someone who's already done it four or five times and got it figured out, amen? Right? What am I saying? We need to exhibit fortitude. And this little maid, against all circumstances, stood up to the plate and exhibited fortitude. Third thought for you. This little maid exhibited faithfulness. This little maid exhibited faithfulness. Look in 2 Kings chapter 5. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she, look at this, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Notice she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Assyria said, go, I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. So I submit to you this morning that this little maid exhibited faithfulness. Why do I say that? Because someone heard what she said and acted upon it. Now, if this little maid was unfaithful or served her master with eye service when I was in the industry, aircraft industry, I was like this too sometimes. You'd be talking to your buddy. We'd be talking. All of a sudden, we'd see the boss come and both of our heads would go down and we'd start working away. Now, none of you ever did anything like that, amen? But you could see it in our plant, right? The boss would walk by and all of a sudden we'd look busy, right? There's something we said, if you wanted to get away with anything in the plant, just walk around with a clipboard and you'd look busy. Hey, serving with eye service, I submit to you that little maid did not, but the boss always knew, amen? I mean, he knew who was working and who wasn't, right? The bosses weren't ignorant. They figured it out. This little maid, she was faithful. The mistress said, hey, I want you to go wash the windows. So she'd go and wash the windows, and she'd clean out the cracks, and she'd be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. She'd take the window out and wash the back side of the window and put the window back in, amen. The mistress said, I want you to go mop the floor, and I want you to clean out every crack and make sure it's all nice because I got company coming tonight. So the little maid would be washing that floor, getting into all the cracks and nooks and crannies and looking behind where all the dust bunnies are, amen. And she'd be singing, Jesus loves me, or this little light of mine, or revive us again, or something. And she'd be going the extra mile all the time. She was faithful in whatever she did. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little, amen, faithful in much. We're supposed to be faithful. This little maid was faithful, and you know what? People were watching. How do I know that? Because the little maid said, hey, if my master goes over to down to my homeland, there's a prophet there that'll give him a healing. And all of a sudden, someone's ears perked up. The little maid, the faithful little maid said that. By the way, could I say this? That her faithfulness was a result of her forgiveness. It all ties in, amen. Her fortitude was a result of her forgiveness. So here she's faithful. She says 20 words. That's all she says. We don't even know her name, and all of a sudden someone hears it and says, hey, king, I want you to, this little maid said this. The king says, really? The little maid said that? Scratches out a letter and sends it to another king, the king of Israel, and the king of Israel reads it. And of course, you know what his reaction is. What? Is he out of his mind? I can't do anything. But the prophet hears about it. The prophet hears about it. And says, hey, send Naaman to me. I'll get that guy figured out. Don't you worry about that. Amen. Could I submit to you at all because little maid was faithful? She didn't serve the Lord with eye service. Amen. She was faithful as a child. 12-year-old girl, but she was faithful. Folks, we all can be faithful. Amen. Go like this. We can all be faithful, whether it's washing a window, cleaning the floor, vacuuming. I noticed a family's name, they're up for cleaning the church this week, amen? Praise the Lord. When people would come and say, I want to join the church, I say, well, and I'd examine and we'd go through all that, and I said, but one thing, just so you know, as soon as you join the church, you're on the cleaning list. So, but you know what? I'll go on. Her faithfulness was noticed by others. Her words were heard. The king responded. Another king responded. Elisha responded. And Naaman got a healing. 20 words the little maid spoke. Don't even know her name. Last thought for you. Look in verse 3. I'll read it to you again. And then turn with me to Luke chapter 4. 2 Kings 5:3 and Luke 4. I want to hook these two verses together for you. Leprosy, what Naaman had, was very common in that day. It wasn't something, like if we heard someone had leprosy, we'd say, really? Where did that come from? That's not usual in Canada or the United States, amen? That's very, very unusual. But not in that day and age, not in those countries. I mean, people had leprosy all over the place. The book of Leviticus has 2 or 3 chapters dealing with how to deal with leprosy. So it wasn't uncommon. It was all over. Now, look at the words of the little maid. She said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now look in Luke chapter 4. So leprosy affected rich and poor. Amen. Leprosy affected the smart and the not so smart. Leprosy affected anybody and everybody, children and old people. Leprosy was all over. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, notice this. This is what Jesus said. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Think about that for a moment. This little maid had never, she'd seen leprosy all over the place. But she had never heard of anyone getting a healing from leprosy. She had never seen someone get a healing from leprosy. And yet she says, Would to God, my Lord, this heathen king, the one who had just carted me off into this foreign land, would to God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Israel, he'd get a healing. Could I say she exhibited faith? Amen. She exhibited faith. And what faith? Wow. This little maid, a 12, could God use me? Do we have an excuse? Do we have, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too good looking. I'm too ugly. I'm too poor. I'm too wealthy. And we can offer so many excuses of why God can't use us, but look at this little maid. Everything was against her, humanly speaking. Circumstances against her. The reality of no one ever getting a healing was against her. And yet she said, Hey, Naaman goes over there, my master goes over there, and he'll get a healing. Anyone heard of Muhammad Ali? No one's heard of Muhammad Ali. One, two, few of you. Let me read you a quote. Now, I'm not a Muhammad Ali fan, but I really like what he said here. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in a world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact. It's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration. It's a dare. I like that. It's not a declaration. It's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. My God, someone quoted it this morning. My God, with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. Did you know that he, 4 times that phrase is repeated in our New Testament? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Hey, just go over there and he'll get a healing. Wait a minute. Have you ever seen a leper being healed, little maid? Have you ever heard of one being healed? Never. But I know my God is able. Amen. Folks, could I say that you're doing the impossible, doing the scripture? That little church in Carrington producing, how many did you say a year? 20,000 or more? Can't be done. Can't be done. Takes too much money to buy those staplers. Takes too much time, and people are busy with their lives and their family. You can't do that. Wait a minute. Yes, you can. Yes, you did. Yes, you are. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Look with me back in 2 Kings 5. And notice the result. Again, I want to stem this all back to her forgiveness. Because if she was bitter, these next 3 points would have never happened. She wouldn't have not exhibited the fortitude. She would have not been faithful. She would have not had the faith to do this. But notice the result. We know Naaman got the healing, but that's not the big thing, amen? This is the big thing. This is what it all boils down to. And he returned, Naaman returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know," 2 Kings 5:15, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Now I know there's no God in all the earth. That's the whole point of the story, amen? Now I know there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. That is what we're called to do, amen? All his company was there. I want you to think about this. Naaman got the healing. Naaman made that public statement. And his company's there. Wow, Naaman, did you hear? Naaman got the healing. I was there. I saw him dip 7 times in the River Jordan. I didn't think he'd do it, but he did it. And he came out just as God said would happen. Just as God said would happen. That prophet said God would do it, and he did it. The company saw it. He goes back to his wife and says, "Hey, wife, look. Look what happened to me. Look, my fingers are healed, and my face, I don't have leprosy marks on my face anymore, and my legs are all healed up. I'm a whole man now. Look what happened." And she says, "Wow. That little maid was right. There is a God in Israel." The king sees him and says, "Hey, Naaman, look what happened. You got the healing. The little maid was right. There is a God." Could you imagine all the armies that he led to, the companies that he led? "Hey, did you hear? Naaman got a healing. Did you hear he went over to Israel? The one we just defeated and got a healing. Hey, did you hear that?" Could I say that those 20 words from that little maid, who we would look at and say, circumstances are against her, her age is against her, she's just a slave in a home. But look what happened. God was glorified. I'm done. My time has passed by a minute. And Paul's up there shaking his fist at me. Could God use you? Go like this. Could God use you? How about you? You? Could God use you, sweetheart? Yes, he could. We just need to make sure we're right with God. We don't harbor bitterness. Folks, I can't stress that enough, because we can get so bitter over the stupidest little things. And we can get bitter over the big things too, amen? But looking diligently, lest you fail of the grace of God, let any root of bitterness, get that root out of there, get that seed out of there. Oh, that's difficult. Yeah, it'll take time sometimes, because hurt runs deep, don't it? We need to go for the grace of God over and over. And Pastor will preach on that one day and help you out with that if he hasn't already 5 or 6 times. And then exhibit fortitude. Stand up in a world that doesn't want you to stand up for right. Be faithful. Be faithful at home. Boys, girls, be faithful at home. When mom and dad ask you to do something, don't whine, "Oh man, I got to do that again. It was my brother's job this time. How come I got to do it again?" Hey, we've all been there, amen? Be faithful in those small things with joy. And then step out by faith. And see what God might do with you in a small thing. The little maid never left the house of Naaman. Amen? She didn't do anything great and grand and large, if you will. But boy, her faithfulness her fortitude, her faith, and her forgiveness reverberates even till today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, Pastor.
Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to ask you a couple questions. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know 100% for sure that heaven's your home? If you were to pass away, the Bible says in John, 1 John, that we can know. And we can know by trusting the Lord Jesus as our Savior. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ and you have questions, would you see me after the service so I could show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that heaven's your home? Second thing is, believer, are you having a root of bitterness somewhere against someone that's destroying your life? I've heard that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It destroys you. I want you to have a victorious Christian life. So during the invitation, if the Lord spoke to your heart, maybe called you to the mission field, called you to forgive someone, or just called you to be faithful, or is calling you to be saved, the invitation time is a time where we can come forward and pray here at the altar. If you want to talk to someone about salvation, you can come forward now or after the service and catch us, but let God work during the invitation. Let's go ahead and take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 306. It's a challenge. They give us a passion for souls, but you can't have a passion for souls till God's got your heart. So stand, please, with me. Hymn number